broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
May 21st, David Gage is ordered to spend the next 29 years in
prison. He was a good man, and I just don't believe any of this.
The pay-as-you-go rule is very simple.
Leave Bush alone. He had to put up with this for 8 years.
Yeah, something like that.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the only news, talk, and entertainment show that has any idea, has even the remotest idea of what it is it's actually trying to say. Well, you can put yourself in a straitjacket of ideology and political philosophy as a Republican, a Democrat, a progressive, a conservative, and the next thing you know, you're all out of answers, man. You're fresh out of friends, Charlie. You know, like we were saying last night on the show, and I thought it was so marvelous. I think I'll just repeat it again. I don't even know what it was. No, I know. You see, cutting taxes isn't always the answer. Growing government programs isn't always the answer. Oh, well, I know that. Bull crap, you know that. What are you?
I'm a Democrat.
Oh, the hell you know that.
John Kennedy cut taxes.
The last one, man. No, no, no. I've been around the block, man, too often not to know that even if we were living in clover right now, even if we had a budget surplus of trillions, billions, gazillions, even if everything was great, even if everybody was rich, even if there was no such thing as urban blight, if there was no such thing as poverty, and everyone was living fat and happy, man, as a Democrat, you'd still want to create some kind of a program to make sure that a guy, you know, didn't have to wipe with just one-ply toilet. You'd want to get the free two-ply in there. And you Republicans, no, 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 don't leave the room. Come on back in here, because I'm talking to you, too. I'm talking to you. If this country was on its ass in the worst possible way, everybody unemployed, everybody riding boxcars, everybody eating mulligan stew, people crawling through the streets looking for a scrap of bread to eat, you'd still bust out with cut taxes. Sometimes you gotta get smart. In other words, sometimes you have to just be, like the man said, get smart.
Yeah, like the movie said.
Like the TV show said. Sometimes you have to break free of your philosophy and do something that works. There's only one philosophy, in my opinion, that one can have from cradle to death that doesn't change, if you so wish it, and that's one's religious point of view. Because I, you know, how do I know, man? I mean, that's about God. That's about faith. That's got nothing to do with anything that I can see. I mean, that's just it's a faith thing, okay? So if you say, oh, this is exactly my religion, okay, I can dig that. But you don't treat politics that way. God almighty. Yeah, but here's the thing. Most of the people that you hear and see on television, radio, they don't even know what the hell they're talking about. They probably go home and there's something else completely different, you know, because it is showbiz, right? It's showbiz. It just so happens on the Phil Hendry Show, we can tell you the truth and entertain you all at the same time. Thank you. Now, speaking of telling you the truth and entertain you all at the same time, how'd you like to hear a bunch of drunk Jews? You would? Okay, because I'm kidding about it. However, this is the Huffington Post had this video up, as did a few others. It's a group of students at a Jewish American college in Jerusalem. They're hammered out of their skulls. They're really stupid. They're ignoramus punks, and they come from rich families, and they wouldn't know their ass from a hole in the ground. And here they are weighing in on Barack Obama. Listen to the brilliance.
This is why I don't like Jews.
Oh, shut up, will you?
I'm kidding.
Here they are. This is a drunk Jewish American student and a group of them in Jerusalem. They say Obama deserves, well, listen.
What do you think, by the way, about Obama coming to the region? He's a head. Wait, yeah, I don't know politics, but he's a head.
You're damn right.
And anyone who wants to take away my gun rights is a head. Deserves to get shot.
Obama's going to pressure Israel for Netanyahu told him to off, and that's how we do it here in Israel, baby.
Is that great? Here is a group of ladies. They think Obama's a terrorist.
I think it's really up
out that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel.
Arab?
Oh, he's a Muslim for sure. And who even knows if he was born in the United States? I haven't seen his birth certificate yet. He's not from the U.S. He's like a terrorist.
Uh-huh.
What is he doing for this country so far? Nothing.
What do you...
I'm a political science major, so like...
Oh, well...
Do you know who Benjamin Netanyahu is?
No.
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 So many of these people are so poor, and they are so black.
You're all about talking to the Arabs, going to Cairo, making a speech to the Muslim world, trying to get them to love you. What about the Jews, man? What are we, chopped liver? You don't care about us? Are we nothing to you? Do we matter? Do you care if we get driven into the sea? Do you care if we get nuked? Like, are we even on... Do you care about us?
God,
I just want to smoke a blunt, eat some chicken wings, have some watermelon with Obama, you know?
My grandmother was in Auschwitz, Obama. We're not going to take any Nazi bull... Listen, man. My grandma's number was 126-8493.
Let me write that down.
I remember her number on her arm, dude. And listen... Never again will we deal with this. Never again.
It's time for us to stand up.
Yeah, okay. What are you doing?
I'm writing a number down to give her a call.
Give her a call? That's a number that was tattooed from the concentration camp.
Oh.
Give her a call. So that's a group of Jewish American students at a Jewish American college in a Jewish American place called Jerusalem. And they were hammered, and that was up on the Huffington Post, and then they took it down, and I don't know why, because I think it's illustrative, as they say. What is it illustrative of? It's illustrative of stupid people, first of all, and also what alcohol can do, and they're young, and they're dumb, and they're rich. But there's a bigger issue here, and the issue is this. Huffington probably even grabbed it, as hard as that is to understand, that whoever put this on YouTube... designed to, at least attempted to design, that Obama would somehow get this feedback and he would harden his views about Israel. In other words, the Jews don't all love you, Obama. Why are you putting yourself out there for them? How come you're saying that you stand behind Israel? How come you're saying all this stuff about the Holocaust? Actually, Obama, they hate you, and therefore you should become more hardline about Israel and just the whole Jewish lobby. Please, Obama, let it happen. And he's not that stupid. He's not that stupid. What's going to happen is the following. These kids are going to, somehow somebody's going to find out that that's their kid. You know, like the parents will hear this. And they'll either cut their money off or they'll go down there and beat the crap out of them. Or these kids are going to sober up tomorrow and they're going to realize what they said and they're going to apologize. And the whole thing's going to be one big cluster you-know-what, you know? Talk about dumb. Talk about entitled. Talk about rich. Talk about, and that one stupid bitch with that, and I'm political science person. He's really just a, you know, and oh, he for sure. Look, I understand that when you go to a kegger party and the guys want to all get you beers, you got to watch that because you turn yourself into it. Number one, ladies, I should just tell you this. Don't always let the guy take your cup over to the kegger and fill it up for you because... there's a thing called a drink whore. Do you know what that means? You know what a drink whore is, right?
Yeah, I do.
I'm not asking you. That means if he gets you enough drinks, then... So you don't want to turn yourself into a drink whore. So what we had there were, you know, a smattering of...
Yeah, it's like Jap drink whores.
Get out of here with the Jap thing, all right? I'm trying to play this thing down the middle. You mind? All right, is that. And then, of course, when you're young and you're having a few beers, no matter how much you think you can hold your liquor, you know, all you got to do is just show up on YouTube spewing.
What do you think, by the way, about Obama coming to the region?
You know, and the next thing you know, all of your friends are going to hear it. A lot of the stuff that they said there obviously was very, very insightful. Some of it was unbelievably racist. Some of it was violent. And some of it was, you know, flat out just, you know, stupid. So here are a couple of comments. I think these were blog comments. I'm not exactly sure, but some of the people, first of all, the guy that put this thing up is a guy by the name of Blumenthal. Name is Max Blumenthal. Interview with the Jerusalem Post. Blumenthal was an American documentary filmmaker, defended the video. He asked about its editing. He said that in the 2 hours of video he collected, no people were edited out who expressed pro-Obama sentiments. So why did you use these? He says, well, these are the most direct responses. I had to make the video watchable. He denied that using inebriated teenagers to represent a slice of reality, but reality nonetheless was irresponsible journalism. Reporting is no less credible when it happens at a bar. I don't have any problem with this guy's video. I mean, I see it for what it is. Drunks. You know, young people that don't know, first of all, how to hold their liquor. Secondly, they're really, really stupid. And it just goes to show you, Mom and Dad, you put the kids in, you know, stick them in an airplane and send them over to Israel so they can get a little taste of life. And it ain't going to make them any smarter. Now, why am I looking at Channel 4 right now putting perfectly good bud into a frying pan?
Oh, my God. They're taking the best buds and they're going to cook it up.
Is this some kind of stupid-ass how-to-cook-marijuana show? Get out of here, man. First of all, make it legal, then show us how to cook it. Anyway, he's become the target of a storm of media criticism since the video's release. I got no problem with Mr. Blumenthal. I think it was fantastic. Now, the Huffington Post pulled it down because all of a sudden I think Mr. Blumenthal had second thoughts. He said it didn't have any news value, and the Huffington Post took it off of their page because I guess they got to be told what's news and what ain't. I'm telling you right now, it's perfectly newsworthy. Perfectly newsworthy, but maybe not for the reasons that you think. When I listen to some juiced out, just some chick or some kid, all right, having maybe, well, their fifth or sixth beer of the night.
I think it's really up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel. Oh, he's a Muslim for sure. And who even knows if he was born in the United States? We haven't seen his birth certificate yet.
Oh, these guys are brain surgeons. This is beautiful. Beautiful. How much you figure it costs to send your kid to a school down there? Huh? Take a look at the bang for your buck you're getting, man. Check it out.
You're all about talking to the Arabs, going to Cairo, making a speech to the Muslim world, trying to get them to love you. What about the Jews, man? What are we, chopped liver?
You know? Yes. Well, the Jews aren't chopped liver. You are, putz.
That's a Jewish word.
Yiddish. All right, so there you have it. That's a slice of American life. Young Jewish people in Jerusalem as they sound off about Barack Obama and try to figure out how they get the deposit back on the empty keg and, you know, stuff like that. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Good God almighty, man. That's a rock and roll good time there. All right, coming up, we're going to have probably going to have more to say about this video. I'm sure I'm going to be thinking of all kinds of things. We'll probably get into some anti-Semitic humor. We won't do that, but who knows. And get your comments to 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Henry Show. Why do we think we're so hot? What is that about? I mean, seriously, don't you think that there's a point where you ain't all that cool any longer? Where suddenly how hot and how special and how precious and how sacred and all that other bullcrap that we talk about, at some point doesn't that sacred thing just get washed away by the acts people come in? There's all human life should be respected. All human life should be respected so long as it is respectable. How about that?
Phil Henry Show. Phil Henry.
I want to know what with those students that we heard, you know, the kids that are talking about Obama, this is about the stupidest pack of human beings I've ever heard in my life. And I'm sure that were I to canvass other young people, let's say in America, and when we say young, these are college-age students, and they're in Jerusalem. I don't know if they're even going to school down there. This is June. Maybe they're down there on the kibbutz or something, man. Maybe they're spending the summer down there seeing, you know, Israel. I mean, it's possible, right? Either way, I mean, where do they, are they reading a newspaper? I take that back. Are they looking at a website? Are they watching a news channel? Are they Twittering, man? Like we do here at twitter.com/realphilhenry. You don't know who Netanyahu is? You ain't heard Obama talking about Israel and backing up Israel? You're talking about guns? I mean, just, I know they're stupid. I mean, they're stupid, and then there's stupid, and then there's taking your brain out and playing with it. And this is about as dumb as it gets. But they're drunk. Now, this guy Blumenthal that made the film, a lot of people are finding fault with him. They're saying that it was motivated, you know, a certain way. I don't find any fault with the guy at all. He came across a bunch of drunk, dumb, stupid American kids, and it probably ain't all that hard. And I'm not putting kids down. I mean, it's not all that hard to find a bunch of dumb, stupid, drunk adults in this country, right? And he stuck it up there on YouTube. But I'm telling you that the guy's got a political motive, and the motive is to sour Obama on Israel. Because he's like a lot of people that dig Obama, and they don't quite get all this pragmatism thing. They don't get this unusual approach to being president, as in he's going to try to lead and perhaps reach out and see both sides, and maybe we shouldn't close Gitmo, and maybe there's some things he'd like to do that are Republican in nature, and it's pissing off a lot of other people, and they don't get it, so they need to influence his point of view somehow. So let's stick this up on YouTube and see if they can't get... get the pendulum swinging the other way. Well, it ain't going to work because he's not as dumb as he looks in your book. Maybe he's got those big ears, Jack, but, you know, Alfred E. Newman, he ain't. Last time I checked, Alfred E. Newman's got freckles.
Hey, I want to ask you a question. How come black people don't like Jews?
We don't like Jews because of that right there, you know? Well, wait a minute, man. Let's start jumping to conclusions. I got to do a phone call here. Greg, listening to us in Houston. Greg, what do you got to say?
These young people, they were drunk and they were stupid, and they keep proving again that a little bit of knowledge is a dangerous thing. And if these young people are smart as they say or think they are, they've just blown whatever credibility they have. If they are supposed to be the intellectual leaders that are coming up in this century as students and leadership people, I feel sorry for what we got to deal with.
Well, what they are is they're young Jewish people, and they're Americans. They're not Israelis.
Right.
And they obviously come from, and I thought that they were students attending school in Israel or in Jerusalem someplace. I think they're there on vacation. And they come from homes that are probably really conservative, and nobody is buying Obama as a friend to Israel. And they get some beer in them, and it's probably... cheap beer, and as you know, it's probably Ice House. I'm kidding. That's 8%, though. And the next thing you know, out of their mouths. But what I don't get is this, man. If the girl is there saying she's a political science student, and she's proud of that, right? She's really proud of it. She says, I'm a political science student, and a thing that I know... And then she sounds like she's just like the most clueless chick. Is this the chick?
You're all about talking to the Arabs going to Cairo.
I think it's really f***ed up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel. He's a Muslim for sure. And who even knows if he was born in the United States?
Sir.
We haven't seen his birth certificate yet. He's not from the U.S. He's like a terrorist. Just...
Oh, my God.
I don't know, man. It's funny to me, dude. When you start listening to it enough times, you start to laugh. Dumb these people are.
Where were these kids coming from? I mean,
They sound like a bunch of entitled kids, man. They sound like Greg, thanks so much for your call. They sound like a bunch of entitled punks. Mommy and daddy packed off to the kibbutz for the summer so they can get a taste of what real life is about. And they're still hanging out in Jerusalem and they're drinking some cheap beer there on the sidewalks or whatever the hell it is they're doing. By the time they get their asses off that kibbutz come August, maybe they'll get it. I don't know. Sergio, listening to us in Woodstock, Connecticut. Sergio, what would you like to say?
Well, I just wanted to basically give my opinion on it. I can tell you, I consider myself an independent, and I kind of leaned more right this past election. I voted for McCain. I didn't vote for Obama. But I can tell you a lot of, like, everybody in my family, the exception of maybe my mother, every Jew in my family, because I'm Jewish, was pro-Obama. And I think that this one particular kid on this video, YouTube, whatever, he's definitely in the minority. Because I think probably about it, if I'm quoting it right, I think the polls are basically like 70% of all Jews usually vote liberal. It doesn't matter who's running. They usually vote to the left.
I was going to say, I thought I noticed a California twang in one of these chicks' voices. Seriously. And out west, Jewish folks, Jewish Americans out west, you got the Annenbergs, and there's a sort of a Ronald Reagan thing that goes on out here. And if I just listen to this one.
I think it's really f***ed up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel.
Doesn't she sound like a Valley girl to you?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know what I'm saying? So it sounds like.
That could also be Maryland too.
Okay, all right.
I don't know.
As in the state.
I was gonna say, Phil, if I could say real quick. I do feel, as someone who's in the Marine Corps, I definitely feel that Obama's anti-military. I mean, everything that he does every single thing that he's done has been against the military. When he wanted to cut down their, I'm having a brain fart now that I'm on the radio. When he wanted to cut down their insurance, their benefit for the disabled veterans.
Well, no, but he didn't want to do that. He was looking to see if he could get private providers to kick in. He didn't want to cut their benefits back. He wanted to have it shared with private providers, man. It's that's not exactly the way it was. Look, I got to run, Sergio. It's not that I want to cut you off, but I don't like Jews. No, I'm kidding, man. I got to take a break. We'll be back.
He's Jewish, and he smokes pot.
Exactly. Well, we don't know that.
Phil Hendry.
Maybe he does. Huh?
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show, back with Max Blumenthal. And Mr. Blumenthal is an award-winning journalist and blogger. His articles and video documentaries have appeared in The Daily Beast, The Nation, The Huffington Post, Salon.com, Al Jazeera English, and many other publications. He's also a research fellow for Media Matters for America and a writing fellow for The Nation Institute. And he's with us tonight on the phone. How are you, Mr. Blumenthal? Phil Hendry here.
Doing well. Good to be with you.
Can I call you Max?
Sure. Call me.
Okay. I would prefer to call a guy by his first name. It's a little easier.
Yeah, let's keep it
we got normal. This. Okay. We got this audio here, Max, from a video that you took. And I'll just play a clip so people who are fresh people. We played it last night. I've got four cuts. And it's pretty funny to me listening to these Jewish American students, I gather. And you can give me the actual particulars. In Jerusalem, after a couple of keggers, it sounds like, talking about Barack Obama.
I think it's really up that he's going to all the Arab states and not Israel. Oh, he's a Muslim for sure. And who even knows if he was born in the United States? We haven't seen his birth certificate yet. He's not from the U.S. He's like a terrorist. Just what is he doing for this country so far? Nothing.
What do you?
I'm a political science major, so like...
Do you know who Benjamin Netanyahu is?
No.
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 These people sound like idiots. That one chick sounds like, you know, any valley girl, I suppose, any stereotype of a valley girl you've ever heard. And it does sound to me like they
girls,
were...
Yeah, valley girls aren't usually as racist from my...
I don't know.
My experience, but she went on to tell me, you know, and we didn't include this in the video, that the Palestinians should be put in a little corner of Palestine or in a tiny little town and all be crammed in there.
Yeah.
And they should be dealt with.
So what do we got here, Max, other than a bunch of drunk, stupid kids? Is the larger point that you were trying to make? And I wanted to ask you, is this part of a larger piece that you're doing or... Was it just those clips that we saw?
Well, it was part of a project I did during a month in Israel of just reporting from the country as much as I could on relevant topics, and I've done a number of videos that, you know, total a half hour in footage, and I have a piece coming out tomorrow about Israelis who love Obama and who they are and what their agenda is. And what I was showing here were... I wasn't intending to show anything except to go out in the streets of Jerusalem and interview people in expectation of Obama's speech in Cairo to the Muslim world on an assignment for the website Mondo Weiss. And this is what I found when I went to the central squares. Were mainly American Jews, dual citizens of Israel and the United States, who felt very connected to Israel, making these outrageous statements against Obama, against the Palestinians, and against putting any pressure on Israel, because most of them had been through some form of a Zionist youth indoctrination program, like Birthright Israel, for example, or had been through yeshiva in Israel, something like that. And so, what it ultimately
how do you know that? Did you ask them that, or were you did they tell you that, these kids?
I did ask some of them what they were doing there, and you know, the girl that was sitting there, I didn't confirm that she was on a birthright trip, but that some people at her table were, And
you know, last night I was saying that, is it possible these kids were over there from America on some kind of a kibbutz trip or, you know what I'm saying?
Whatever they were doing there.
Yeah.
They were being indoctrinated into the Zionist experience by choice and had taken on a lot of the nationalistic cant that you hear in Israel, but they repeated it and echoed it in a really extreme tone that also took on the form of, you know, some kind of rhetoric that we hear here in the United States from the extreme right that sounds like white supremacists or the extreme right of the Republican Party.
Right, I hear you. But when I listen to this stuff, it sounds like I could have been at a kegger party in a backyard someplace, anywhere,
you know,
with a bunch of entitled young Jewish kids who've come from money. I imagine they come from money. They wouldn't be down there. And they're stupid, and that's about it. But you're reading into this a much larger, more nefarious political indoctrination, as you call it.
Yeah, it makes it much more disturbing, especially because right now it's 1:30 in Washington, D.C., where I am, and I've been drinking all night with my friends, and I just don't have the urge to call for white power or to denounce the N, you know, people of the N-word, like so many of
did. Well, I would never say, I'm not saying that the alcohol gave them the opinion. I'm just saying that they sound like they're idiots. They don't sound bright, and you happened upon a bunch of dumbasses, you know. So I guess my point is, are you trying to extrapolate here something bigger that needs to be fought, or did you just stumble upon some entitled American youth with stupid extreme ideas?
Even if I did, it was a slice of reality, and I'm not going to hesitate to show the reality that I show. On the other hand, you know, I was in Israel for over a month, and I heard opinions that were equally extreme as these on a daily basis. And I detailed a lot of them at my blog, maxblumenthal.com, and on Mondo West. I was playing basketball with some friends in a suburb of Tel Aviv, and a guy sits me down and tells me, I'm a Zionist, so I prefer the bloodshed on the other side. Or sitting at a bar with a, you know, pretty and elegant girl who's sipping a mixed drink, and she starts telling me how she arbitrarily shot at Arabs in the army. And I said, why would you do that? And she said, because they're coming to steal my home. Or standing on a leafy street in Tel Aviv with a guy who told me he knows Gaza City as well as he does Tel Aviv because he's routinely patrolling there. And he tells me if we could kill 800 Palestinians to save one Jew, we should do it. And
So we've got real extreme, hateful people on both sides here, because you can't deny viciousness is on. I understand that there's an extremism in Israel, and the thinking I get, and don't tell me if I'm putting words in your mouth. You're thinking that if we can mitigate or somehow root out the extremism in Israel, then the process gets moved forward there.
We can't root out the extremism in Israel necessarily. We, being the Americans, and Obama. The power dynamic is that Israel is the rider and the Palestinians are the horse. And the more threatened Israel feels by the horse, the more deeply it digs its spurs in.
Okay, so what's the solution here? We know that we've got extreme Israelis. What are you proposing is the solution then? Because I understand everything you're saying. I'm trying to get to the point where is there an answer to this problem I know that Israel is considered to be the horse and the Palestinians are Israel's the rider, the Palestinians are the horse. So therefore, what?
So, you know, within Israeli society, there are fewer and fewer checks on the occupation, on the power of the army, on the extremism that's incipient, that's completely consumed society and is reflected in the total public support for the war on Gaza. Therefore, Israel requires an external force to pressure it into making concessions and making peace to the extent that peace can still be made because the occupation and the settlement enterprise is so...
What would those concessions... getting rid of the settlements, I understand the settlements, and President Obama was clear about those in his speech in Cairo. He also said Israel isn't going anywhere. He already said Israel isn't going anywhere. And he articulated the history of the Jewish people. So if the settlements are, if they get rid of the settlements and return to the pre-67 borders, is that good? Is that cool? I mean, what are we talking about here, man?
If that happens, it's a game changer. The question is whether that can happen. I did a video on the settlers.
You feel confident?
Do I feel confident?
That if the Israelis gave up those settlements, that the Hamas and Hezbollah and some of these other organizations that are equally extreme will put down their rifles and their rocket launchers and things begin to get really good.
Well, Israelis need to recognize that they aren't going anywhere, that their power is insurmountable, and that Hamas, with a few rockets and some machine guns, has no capacity to threaten the existence of Israel with its 250 nuclear weapons and U.S.-funded, sophisticated army. Once they recognize that, needs to be a lifting of the blockade on Gaza, which has prevented even concrete from entering after Israel leveled virtually the entire
Well, that's
Gaza
understood
strip.
That if the settlements go away, I would imagine the blockade would get lifted, and everything's good there. See, all of these concessions you're asking... You know, you're saying that Israel lift the blockade and Israel gets rid of the settlements and all that. I understand and I agree with you, Max. I don't disagree with you at all. What worries me is the following. The extremists in Israel, having been told to shut up, we're getting rid of our settlements and we're getting rid of the blockade and we're going to do the things that the world is asking us to do, all of that notwithstanding, are we now assured that Israel is not compromised in terms of its security, lifting the blockade, etc., and that the people of Israel are safe from people such as Hamas, Hezbollah, and others that want their destruction?
Israel, on the current path that it's on right now, in the complete grip of the right wing, with total support from Congress and the Israel lobby, is on the path towards not only international delegitimization, but also permanent rise of authoritarianism within Israel,
right,
to the point where it's no longer the so-called only democracy in the Middle East.
Gotcha.
And I can tell you, you know, for the rest of your show, all of the repression that's going on inside Israel since the war on Gaza, and how democratic elements are being repressed within Israeli society, and how life for Arab citizens of Israel has become intolerable.
Yeah. But you're avoiding my question. You're not even answering. I don't believe that know the answer to my question.
What I'm telling you is that Israel
I'm saying to you, if Israel does the things you're asking, Mr. Blumenthal, can you assure Israel's security?
Israel's security right now is in permanent jeopardy because of the actions it's taking.
I'm asking you if Israel does the things the world is asking it to do, can you assure that Israel would be secure?
Israel's security is assured. The question is, whether
it is.
Israel is jeopardizing its own existence.
I know what your standing is. I can't. You know, I'm not going to argue because that would take for hours for you and I to go back and forth about what's jeopardizing Israel. But if Israel did the things that are needed in your mind, get rid of the settlements and lift the blockade, that they're a secure nation. You're fairly confident of that.
Settlements and the blockade are what's contributing to the radicalization in Palestinian society, and I've interviewed...
Exactly. So if they got rid of that, they're a secure society, you're fairly sure.
It would certainly contribute to their security, and not only that...
But they're not... what else would they have to do to be secure, then, if that did not do it 100%? What else?
No country can be 100% secure, but...
Well, you know what I'm talking about, man, so that they don't have rockets being launched into their territory or suicide bombers. You know what I mean.
The last suicide bombing was years ago. Meanwhile...
I understand that, and that's not because anybody got nice. You know, it's because the Israelis stepped up their security. I'm saying that if they did the things that you are requesting and that President Obama and that President Obama indicated the other day... Max, you keep wanting to make these points, man...
I can tell you.
I know what you saw. Brother, I've had people on the show left and right who've told me what they saw. I had guys from the IDF on the show who can counter everything that you're saying, okay? So please don't tell me that you're unique in your view.
You're
a reporter? Good. I am asking a question, and I'm going to get I'm simply saying to you, sir, I'm simply saying it's very simple.
Because you're talking over me left and right. You're not interested.
You're giving a speech that I've heard already. You already said multiple times what Israel's apparatus and political structure and the political threats to Israel are. I know, and I'm not going to dispute that with you. I'm saying if they take the steps the international community would like, you assure us as a reporter that they're a secure country.
I mean, I think consolidating the existence of your country is a security issue, and you keep using this security term in a vague way to deflect.
No, I'm not, man. I'm talking about rockets. I'm talking about organizations wanting your destruction. I'm talking about countries saying that your existence is anathema. I'm talking about countries that say that you're nothing more than a virus, a thing that sits in the middle of the Arab country. You've heard the words that have been used describing the state of Israel. What can they do to be accepted? So I'm simply saying to you, in order for them to be secure, in order for them to be secure, what do they do, or do you really do you think that there is anything they can do to be secure?
Paul, you're doing a pretty bad radio show.
No, I know how to do radio. I'm not telling you how to report, my brother. I know how to do radio. What I'm telling you is I have a question on the table that you don't want to answer.
No one likes to listen.
I tell you what, man. People like listening to me a lot more than they want to listen to your slurring speech right now, okay? So if you can answer this question, as a fair-minded journalist, you're convinced Israel would be secure.
You keep talking over me every time I want to talk.
Yeah, and I'm going to do it until I get my question out. As a fair-minded journalist, you feel secure. You feel that Israel would be secure were they to take those steps.
You sound and behave.
And every time I answer every time I ask that question, you go back to what Israel's doing wrong now. And I keep trying to move you past that. You don't want to do that. You're invested in that. That's your whole life, man, what Israel's doing wrong.
My whole life?
That's your whole forte, man.
What I saw there.
Yeah, I know what you saw. I'm asking you as a man who's observed things, what do you think after Israel does the things that the international community wants them to do, what do you think is the end game for Israel? Are they secure?
Well, I can repeat myself that by acting in concert with the international community and the Palestinians and establishing a Palestinian state, allowing a viable Palestinian state to come into being, they increase their security and they decrease radicalization in Palestinian society and weaken the power of Hamas, which is gaining support because people in Palestine want to fight back, and it's the only organization that's doing it.
Right. Yeah. All right. I thank you very much. Max Blumenthal there telling us about the film that he made of a bunch of drunk kids in Jerusalem, which he thinks is indicative of a serious underclass of right-wing extremist quasi-Nazis in Israel, which if they got rid of all of them, man, everything would be freaking sweetness and light down there in the Middle East. It's a funny culture we live in. It's doubly funny when you consider the twists and contortions in gymnastics some people will do to say they support the troops while not supporting the war, or they support the troops while not supporting the militarism of America, and they support the troops while not supporting the commander-in-chief. Then, if someone comes along and says, well, I support the troops and I support the war in Iraq, now you're the guy who has to defend himself.
Phil Hendry.
We still have the exciting news of Carrie Prejean. She's with us. She's alive. She's well, and she's fired. Donald Trump candor. She says, well, that may be, but they asked me to do a Playboy spread. She didn't say they asked her, but there was an offer from Playboy, and that the Miss USA pageant said, hey, you know, take it or leave it. So, they had designs. I don't know if she's making a point there or not. Let's go over to Alan here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Alan, what's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Phil, you got the greatest show on radio. Let me just say that this last guy you had on is no reporter if he's that biased. Wouldn't that make him a commentator?
Well, yeah, but there are reporters and there are reporters. Reporters pride themselves on getting, quote, truth, and I'm sure a guy like Max thinks that he's digging into truth that other reporters won't go near, so he probably considers himself a journalist. I don't know.
Well, I think with the internet now, the line between reporter, commentator, blogger is getting too blurred.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, finding a guy that'll just walk into a situation, however dangerous, and really observe as a journalist, that is an objective who, what, when, where, why reporter is pretty tough these days.
Exactly. And this guy isn't even coming close, man. Oh, he's actually, really giving us a good, look at maybe his personality. I think he's bringing that to the forefront instead of the facts. Obviously, he got on the radio and gave his little speech. He's pushing his own political agenda, man. That's all I really wanted to say, and you are the greatest on the radio.
Well, you're a nice guy. No, thanks for saying it, man. I appreciate it. Let's go over to Chris. Hey, Chris, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, and what's going on with you, man?
Well, what I'm wondering is, this guy claims to be an educated reporter. I'm wondering if they teach them history. And he remembers that that Yasser Arafat and the Palestinians started out as the PLO, and they were a terrorist organization, just like Hamas, just like the Taliban. And so why is it that Israel should make concessions with terrorists?
Well, and he would probably counter that Israel, before they were a state, conducted their own wide-ranging, shall we call them commando operations as well.
Phil Hendry.